I'm sitting here with my good friend, Derry Brownfield, the Derry Brownfield Show. It's been a couple of, it's going on a couple of years almost since we've sat down and talked. And Derry, you're out here in
and
some
you're looking
gigs.
Old, too.
I did have a birthday, but we can ignore that in this conversation. But you're in a new location out here in California, Missouri. First of all, just how's everything going in the Derry Brownfield world?
Wonderful. Absolutely fantastic.
Anything new and interesting that you've had a chance to learn about or talk
about?
Well,
I learn constantly. And, I guess I'm kind of a weirdo. I've been accused of that a few times.
Well, you have a way of describing yourself that I think is, I can never get all the adjectives in there.
Redneck,
but.
Hypocritical, sarcastic, egotistical, it goes on and on and on. And
you can put them all in here because this is on the internet. This isn't broadcast here. But yeah, you've been doing this talk show. I remember when Cindy came into us one day and said, I think I got a great idea. Why don't we start a talk show? And well, we got this thing kicked off. Gosh, I remember the first day, and it just doesn't seem like it's been that long.
It's been almost 15 years.
15 years.
I think.
Wow.
Beth's been with me 13 years, and I think Joy was with me for two, mm-hmm. my daughter, if you remember.
Right.
So, it's been a while.
Well, over that time, a lot of things have changed. Some things have stayed the same. But if we look at, how the business you're in, because you're broadcasting this over radio stations, but there's other ways that people can be
you know, and with. Actually, it's hard to stay on radio stations because I'm very politically incorrect. Mm-hmm. For one thing, I have been, and I've had people say, you just thrive on disaster. Not necessarily, but once in a while, when people say, I hate to tell you this, but I told you so. I don't hate to tell you I told you so. I told you so. I knew this was going to happen. I forecast this economic collapse 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. It just didn't happen when I thought it was going to. I thought Y2K might be the trigger that made the gun go off. It was not. But, when your outgo exceeds your income, you upkeep your downfall. You just cannot keep borrowing money and operating on borrowed right. money because I tried that. I tried that back in the 1980s, and 20% interest about broke me. And so I understood what was taking place, mm-hmm. and I grew up with old-timers back in the 1930s, and as a little kid, I understood what the 1920s and 30s were all about. So,
I remember when we sat in management meetings back when I worked at Learfield at the time, when you were still there as well. And I just remember that analogy you gave of you got to have more water coming in the bathtub than it's coming out the
drain
on the bottom.
Right.
You know?
If the faucets aren't open faster than the drain, you're going down the hole.
Cindy and I, we're on our second business, and thank goodness, 5 years now. And we definitely from the start adopted that philosophy. We got to have a little more income than we got outgo.
And if it's outgoing too fast, there's only one thing to do. Shut off the outgo. It's easier to shut off the outgo than it is to make the faucets run faster.
Right. Well, you're still in the broadcast world, though, and distributing your program that way. But, our company took this approach. We talked about it at lunch today of going to the internet to deliver information. But you can still, and I think we can still find the Derry Brownfield Show on the internet, right?
DerryBrownfield.com, and we even archive our programs. Mm-hmm. You can pick up at least a week's of the programs there. And, the internet thing has really been a big boom, and we get a lot of, we are on a couple of shortwave stations.
Right.
And we get a lot of calls. We get calls from all over the world, both on the internet and on shortwave. So we have listeners get a lot of listeners in Canada.
Mm-hmm. And when we started this thing, we were hoping to just get on a few Midwest radio stations and talk to some people in Iowa, Nebraska.
And I started the network, we had 8 stations in the state of Missouri.
Right. Right.
And that was when everything was tied to a telephone line. We had to, you couldn't pick up somebody in Timbuktu. Today, anybody with a satellite dish can pick us up, or with an internet can pick us up.
Well, at this point, How do you feel about what you're doing with the show? I mean, you know, we didn't really talk about a lot of details of how many listeners you have, because whoever even knows that.
You don't know.
And I'll tell you what, on the internet, that is a big question today, is how do you know who's listening and how many? Because even though you can track how many people like visit your website, for example, you still don't know the whole answer.
If they're listening or if they just fail through there. That's right.
But in terms of what you're trying to accomplish with your show.
I don't know what I'm trying to accomplish.
But you're having fun doing it, right?
Well, yes and no. I have a feeling that I need to bring truth to the country. And you do not get truth on the radio. And that's why I had to leave the other business where I was, because I was telling the absolute 100 truth about Monsanto. Mm-hmm. And you will not get that truth off of any NAFB farm broadcaster. That's National Association of Farm Broadcasters, because these multinational corporations pay their bills. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to operate without the finances from the major multinational corporations. I don't get any of their money. And that's fine. I don't need it. I work for nothing. I don't have a salary, but that's fine. Because right. I feel like I want to bring the truth to this country. Mm-hmm. And I've been telling the truth about this economy. I've been telling the truth about these about the multinational corporations, how they've been taking advantage of agriculture for years. And it's just gotten to be worse and worse and more of what's going on.
Well, we're certainly seeing the result of something that has been going on here. When we look at what's happening in this country right now, that, you know, I don't know if we want to get into a whole political discussion here, but I can tell you, as a small businessman in this country, I am not real happy with the way things are. Wasn't to start with, because like you, and maybe it's because I listened to you for a number of years, I had a clue with what was going on, and we could see this coming. In fact, at coffee this morning, I had a gentleman who, very familiar with it, who said, didn't Derry tell us that this was going to happen quite a few years ago?
At least, and I know who you're talking about, I've known him at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this was going to take place. There was no doubt in my mind that we were not going to, and I don't think it's nearly over yet. Yeah, I mean, there's no way. They say, your grandchildren are going to have to pay these bills. No, they're not, because there's no way mathematically that you can pay off tens of trillions of dollars. See, first of all, those dollars never exist. They're just a glitch on somebody's computer somewhere. Mm-hmm. That money doesn't exist. And it can't happen. So what we're going to have to do as a world, and it's all global now, and you can see how it's gone global. I remember very well, and here again, I know they're not supposed to talk about the farm organizations, not say anything bad, but I remember very well, I was reading, one of the first times I ever heard about a global world, a global market, was through the American Soybean Association. Oh, we got to go globally. No, we don't. Hey, we are a nation with boundaries. We are a sovereign nation. You and I are sovereign individuals living in a sovereign nation. We don't need the Chinese. We don't need other nations. We don't need people that don't believe in the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it all started. No, it didn't. It started way, way, way back before that, and we're not going to give you a history lesson here. But it really started when they took the Bible out of the schools, when you couldn't have prayer in schools, when you could start killing little babies and doing it legally because it was choice, not a life. And see, I don't think God can bless America anymore.
I don't know how we can either.
No.
Because you hit on a subject that I know is highly emotional and divisive, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's kind of hard to say that I'm going to give up the truth and what is right and what I believe in just because I want to make somebody else think nice about me. You know what I mean?
Well, it's called political correctness.
Exactly.
And I refer to it as ignorance going to seed.
That is probably one of my favorite Derry Brownfield expressions, by the way. We got a couple in there. If you're listening closely, you've gotten a couple of those. But yeah, we can see the evidence of ignorance gone to seed all over
it's
the place.
In full bloom right now.
Well, we could go on for a long time here and talk. I just wanted to have an opportunity for people who have certainly known and listened to Derry Brownfield over the years to kind of get an update, at least the people who watch or read agwire.com, to see how that Derry is doing fine. We just had lunch together and really appreciate the opportunity. I've been trying to do this for about a year, but business has been good. You know what I mean? We've been busy.
And by the way, if anybody wants to kind of keep up and they can't pick us up on the radio or the internet, all they need to do is, first of all, just go to DerryBrownfield.com. You can get the programs.
Right.
And then I get out a monthly newsletter called the Common Sense Chronicle for $24.95. You can be on the list. And if you go back and look through, and this is ridiculous. This is, I hate to tell this on the air, but I will. But back in 1980s, the early 80s, mm-hmm. 81, 82, and 83, I wrote articles for the Rural Electric Cooperatives magazine. Mm-hmm. And now I have to come up every month with an article for the Paragon Foundation's publication. And you know what I do?
Rewrite those articles.
I don't have to rewrite them. I don't have to rewrite them. I go back and I pick, well, what did I say here? Oh, that's a pretty good article. I change a few names. I change a few dates. It's exactly what I said in 1980.
Amazing. Amazing.
By the way, anybody wants those, I can send them to you, too.
All right. Well, that's Derry Brownfield. We're sitting here in his studio in California, Missouri, the home of the Derry Brownfield Show. And
the home of old Derry Brownfield.
That is.
Yeah, I graduated from high
school
here.
If I had been thinking, and we're going to do this next time, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get a Derry Brownfield tour of California. And we're going to learn about the history of the town that I'll bet you over 50% of the people here do not know.
Oh, 90% don't know. Hey, I'm 77 years old, and I've been here since I was 2. And my grandfather was the mayor, so I know a lot of stuff that most folks don't know.
All right. Well, that's Derry, and I thank you for listening.